Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Very present help. God is our very present help. That's the title of the message out of Psalm 46. We've been in Psalm 46 for the last 3 weeks. Jenny has some cards made up for every one of you that would like one. They're laminated. Now, this is the front and back of the card, okay? And Psalm 46 is printed on one side. It's big enough where you can just put it in your shirt pocket if you have a shirt pocket. It's King James Version. We're not a King James only church, but I just like King James Version for the Psalms. It's just a beautiful language. And so I've been preaching through this, and I'm wanting you to meditate. The purpose is for you to meditate. Meditate means you go over and over and over something, not for the purpose of trying to memorize it here, but you go over it and over and over it. You chew on it. You think about it. You put yourself to sleep at night, last thought, first thing in the morning, things like that throughout the day, and you go over one verse at a time. And right now, you just for the last 3 weeks, we've just been doing Psalm 46, verse 1. And you take that and you just, this card is just written to help you meditate. On the back side, looks like computer language, it's the first letter of every word as a trigger. If you can see it, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's just a little trigger to help your memory pull up out of your heart the work which you've been meditating on. Anyway, these are available, one per adult, please. At the end of the service, go by the information table. We had these printed up for you just as our gift to you. And keep that because still the next few weeks, as the Lord leads, we're going to be in Psalm 46. I really feel impressed to get this psalm, as well as some other psalms like Psalm 91, Psalm 23, hidden inside your heart. And you're going to understand why in a little bit. Because, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it just make sure you stop by there and get one of those. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you. So we're looking at God as our refuge, our strength, and this week, a very present help in trouble. We're learning that we need to trust God as our refuge when storms come. We need to learn to trust God as our strength for this kind of life that we're called to live in a hostile world. And today we're looking at God as a very present help in trouble. Notice that the scripture says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Say it with me, a very, very present. Therefore, and it says in King James language, you can change it around, will not we fear. Now, the result of getting this truth, one verse of Scripture established in your heart, where you're rooted and grounded in the fact that God is my refuge when the storms hit. God is the strength of my life when I'm weak and can't continue on. And getting this truth today, He's very present. When you get that established in your heart, you will never fear anything. You're panic proof. But we got to get this established. Not just something we say and we quote. We got to own it. We got to know it. And the things that are going to happen in life, they come to everybody. Some are attacks from the enemy. He sends a spirit of fear to cause terror in your heart. Worry is nothing but fear. And the Lord wants you to be protected from the spirit of fear. The terrorist, Satan. And the way he does that is for you to get God's word so grounded inside your heart that it's like automatically it just comes out of you. You don't even think about it. It's like in sports If you're a golfer, you practice your swing over and over and over and over. Why do you got to keep practicing over and over? Well, you're trying to get it right, but you're trying to develop muscle memory so that your body and everything will just kind of know when you got it just right. You can do it without thinking. Boxers, martial artists, they practice one move over and over and over again, hundreds of times, thousands of times. Why? They're developing muscle memory so that when the time comes, when something happens, they don't have to think about it. It's automatic. It's automatic. And we are to be filled up, so rooted and grounded and meditated and thinking upon the Word of God and have it so much deeply a part of our lives that we don't even have to think about it when a storm hits. We automatically say, God is my refuge. God is my strength. Very present help. It's automatic. Are you understanding? You don't even think about it. You don't have to run to your Bible. It's already there. The words very present help in the Hebrew actually mean to find out that God is abundantly present. Now, I know we're in church and everybody says, well, we know God is present. But I want to challenge you with that. I don't think you really, really believe that all the time. Maybe some of you do. But most don't, and I'm going to prove it. And it would help you tremendously if you really believed God was very present all the time. Even when you don't feel Him. Even when you don't see anything. Now, I have what I wrote down, what I think could be a prophetic word to somebody. So I just wrote it out. Instead of standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord, this is what I wrote out. And if this is for you, you need to grab a hold of it. If it's for you, take a picture of it on your phone or whatever and go back over it with the Lord. But here it is. And this is what I believe is a prophetic word for somebody that as I was preparing this message is what came to me. You are not alone. Don't trust your feelings. Trust me. Stop giving in to doubts and believe my word. Talk to me. I hear you. I'm as close as your breath. I am your very present help in trouble. Come to me first. Seek me first, and I will direct your path. Now, that's for you. Take it. The first negative thing God ever said was, it's not good for man to be alone. The first negative thing. Today there's an epidemic of loneliness. If you haven't read the blog I wrote this week, read it. It talks about loneliness as being epidemic. It talked about how here in the villages where people come to retire, they come to enjoy the best part, the last part of their life. They come to, you know, they've worked hard all their life and they want to come and they want to have fun. There's nothing wrong with that. They want to have fun and enjoy retired life. Nothing wrong with that. But so many of them are dying premature because of loneliness. And I'm not talking about just widows and widowers. I'm talking about how you can be lonely and sit in a crowd. You can have family and be lonely. Read the blog. It'll give you more detail about that, more information about that. 42.6 million people from the age of 45 are suffering from loneliness. Sometimes God brings seasons in our life of loneliness that are for a good reason. We've all gone through times where we feel alone. And sometimes God brings it. Sometimes God wants us to work on our relationship with Him and go deeper with Him and not have to depend upon other human beings. There are times that God wants us to go deeper with Him. Jesus went into a lonely place to pray many times. The desert fathers in the Bible, they often would go in the desert to be alone with God. There's a time and a place for that. You should have time like that. Sometimes God lets you go through a season of loneliness because he wants you to make some new friends or a new friend. Someone that you maybe have not even thought about being a friend. Sometimes God initiates that. The Apostle Paul knew about loneliness in ministry, of all things. Near the end of his fruitful life, he wrote to Timothy, a young pastor that he mentored, and he said these words in 2 Timothy 4:16, "No one stood with me." He's in prison. At the end of his life, he started churches. He's the apostle of the New Testament. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's influenced the whole world. And he's at the end of his life in prison, and he says these words. This sounds so sad. "No one stood with me." No one. "Everyone's forsaken me and abandoned me." This is the Apostle Paul. Yet at the same time, it's so interesting, he's not bitter. I said he's not bitter. He's not offended at people. Doesn't have a bitter attitude toward anybody. He's not complaining. He's not even depressed. Instead, he goes on to say, "But the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work." Here's a man who had experience. Are you with me? Here's a man who owned God as a very present help in trouble. Here's a man who knew that was true. We do need times where we're in community. God's, you know, church is God's idea. Not necessarily the way churches always do things are not necessarily God's idea. But church, where we're part of a body of Christ, where we interact, we have relationships with people, some closer than others. But church is God's idea. And yet I know there are a lot of times we don't like church because what church has done to us or the way churches treat us. But church is God's idea, not the bad experiences you've had in church. That's not God's idea. Are you with me? God knows we need that community. And yet at the same time, we need times alone. Just with him. You need both. God is invisible, but he's present. And he says for us to believe that he's present. Psalm 46, he's a very present help in trouble. Even if I don't feel him or see him. He's declaring over your life, God is a very present help in trouble. Do you believe that? Well, we're going to find out. God the Father is invisible. He's invisible. Moses had a wonderful relationship with God the Father. The Bible described his relationship as speaking as to one as face to face. Yet Moses never saw the face of the Father. His relationship was described as one speaking face to face, but he never saw a form. And one time, after all the miracles that he saw, Moses was bold enough to ask, he said, "Would you let me see your glory?" And finally God said, "Yeah, come over here, stand here in this rock and behind this place over here, and I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you." And he said he saw the backside of God. That wasn't a form. What did he see? He saw the goodness of God. That you can't see, but he saw the goodness of God pass before him. What was that like? I don't know. God the Son, Jesus, is the only one of the Trinity that's ever been visible. Scripture said, John 1:18, "No one has seen God at any time. The only Son who's at the Father's side has made him known." That's why Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip." I'm the expression of the Father in bodily form. The Father doesn't have a body. I am the Father's body. God the Father is invisible. God the Son is visible. And what did He reveal? The Father revealed the goodness of God. The Son reveals the grace of God. Jesus came full of truth and grace. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. He's invisible. Jesus described the Spirit as like the wind. He comes and goes at His will. You don't see Him, but you feel the effects. So God's Holy Spirit is for the purpose of guidance. God the Father reveals the grace or the goodness of God. God the Son that we can see reveals the grace of God. God the Holy Spirit reveals the guidance of God. He gives us guidance. And so when we're born of God, we're born of His Spirit. His Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And we have a GPS living right there. The GPS. He guides you in the way to where to go, what to do. He guides you in truth. So God the Father reveals the goodness to us. The Son reveals grace to us. Next slide. And the Spirit reveals guidance to us. That's what the Trinity does. But for the most part, God remains invisible. Amen. We don't see Him right now. But He said He's very present. So if you see somebody starting to go to sleep right now, you better nudge him and say, hey, God is here. He's here. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. What would happen if Jesus, Son of God, God the Son, would manifest Himself right here in a physical body right now? What would happen if Jesus, like, He's here physically. You could see Him. You could touch Him. You could, there He is. Not a ghost, but you saw His body. What would happen right now in this church if Jesus showed up in bodily form standing right here? What would you do? Every one of you, we'd all be on our face. Whew. Why doesn't He do that? Remember when Jesus, when they were coming, the guards were coming for Him in the garden? And then at night, and they were wanting to arrest Him, and they came with the lanterns and these soldiers, and some, I guess, didn't know which one He was, and is it dark and all that, and they said, you know, we're here. Which one of you is Jesus? And Jesus stepped forth and said, I am. And as soon as He said, I am, boom, they're on the ground. You think they get a clue. Like, what happened? But anyway, they got up and carried out their mission. If Jesus appeared here physically right now, every one of us would be on our face. But you would be doing it involuntarily because the glory is so great. Just like those soldiers who didn't believe in Him. They were down. The power. If He manifested Himself in His presence and His glory right now, involuntarily, every one of us would fall on our face before Him. And He's chosen not to do that. He does not want involuntary worship now. He wants volunteers only. Volunteers who believe He's present without seeing anything. One day, He comes back to earth. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Believe me, it's going to happen. There ain't no doubt about it. That's going to happen. But for now, volunteers only. Are you with me? After Jesus' resurrection, Thomas, one of the disciples, was in the room listening to all the other disciples say, I saw Him. I talked to Him. I touched Him. I can't believe this. We ate bread together. We talked together. He shared it. And he's listening to all these testimonies. And he's saying, listen, I love all of you guys. But I cannot do that. I cannot believe like you believe. You said you saw him, you talked to him, and I want to believe you because I love you, but I can't do that unless I see him with my own eyes and touch him with my own hands. And just then, Jesus walked through the wall. And Jesus said, I heard that, Thomas. No, he didn't say that. That's what I would have said. I heard that. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? The scripture says, the Passion Translation says, that looking into Thomas' eyes, Jesus said, put your hands here in my wounds. See for yourself. And then he said these words in John 20:27, Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe. I believe God's speaking prophetically right now to somebody in this room. He's trying to tell you something you've gone through. Disappointments have happened. Things haven't happened like you thought. God hasn't done what you expected him to do. And he's saying to you, put your name in the place of Thomas. Don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe. Just believe. And look what blurted out of Thomas' mouth. Then these words spilled out of his heart. You're my Lord and my God. You better believe it. It just spilled out of Thomas' heart. You're my Lord and my God. And it says that he worshiped him. You're my Lord, you're my God. And then Jesus says these famous words, Thomas, now you have seen me and you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but they believe in me with their heart. And they'll be blessed even more than you have been blessed today. Question, do you believe that? Because he's talking about you and me. Question, where was Jesus when Thomas was spouting off, I can't believe unless I see, and all this kind of stuff? Where was Jesus before he stepped in that room? He's right there. He's present. Now let me ask you now, be real careful. Do you really believe that? Do you? Then why do some of you talk as though he's not in the room sometimes? Why do you talk about things, people, as if God's not there? He's not here with us? Why do you become afraid when a hurricane comes? It's going to be category 1,000. It's going to be like an atomic bomb, and you believe all the reports that the news tells you. And yet you won't believe what God said. He's a very present help in trouble. What are you afraid of? What you should do with Psalm 46, now you're going to get heaven on a card. You have Psalm 91 in your Bible, Psalm 23, some other Psalms. Use the Psalms. That was somebody's prayer at one time. Then they made it into a song through meditation. Songwriters are just good people, know how to meditate. Take a scripture, take something and meditate, and it becomes a song. They put a melody, and then they add harmony and all that stuff to it. And so you take this scripture. If a hurricane comes this way, you get in your house, and when they say it's going to hit this time, whatever, you stand in the middle of your house with the Word of God, and you say, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, not in this house. And you quote Psalm 91 and other scriptures. You say, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it's not going to come here. The storm, you are not going to, this is how we pray, you are not going to affect our neighborhood, and we pray for our neighbors. You ain't going to come to our house, but you ain't going to affect our neighborhood. This is our neighborhood, and we have authority over it, and we pray for our neighbors. We love our neighbors, and we declare the covering that you've given us extend over them as well. And in a storm, you can blow all you want to, but you ain't going to destroy any houses here. There's not going to be any life lost here. And we stand up and we declare it. Every time. Guess what? It works. The word works, if you believe it. I'm going to shorten this, move on forward. Jesus said when he getting ready to leave the earth, he said, I am with you always, even into the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. I'm with you always, even into the end of the age. That wasn't the first time God said that. I'll just give you some scriptures. You can look it up later. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31:6, God was telling this people of Israel, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. To Joshua, when he was about to go into the promised land, he said, don't be worried, don't be fearful. The Lord God's with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10, God says, don't ever be afraid. I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll help you with everything you got to go through. Hebrews 13:6, we're supposed to be able to confidently say, the Lord's my helper. I'll not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:6, and so forth. Now, before Jesus left the earth, he said, I'm going to send another spirit, another comforter. And the word another means one just like me, the same kind as me. John 14:16, Passion Translation, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another, the same kind like Jesus, the Holy Spirit of truth. And the world won't receive him because they can't see him. But you'll know him intimately because he'll make his home in you. He'll live inside you. And if I had time, I'd have showed you how all those Old Testament scriptures are saying, and the New Testament scriptures are all saying the same thing in Psalm 46, verse 1. God's with you. Don't be afraid. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's here now. He's present now. He's not, I will be there, or I'll show up when you need me, but I am with you. What difference does this make? You're never alone. Ever. Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes you feel alone. Sometimes it's like we need human companionship. Yes, that's true. It's true, but it's also not true. First and foremost, God wants you to, first of all, have such a relationship with him that he is the first love of your life. He's the first one you go to, whether you have anybody to stand with you or not. Just like the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, no one was with him. Everybody abandoned him. And yet he wasn't afraid because he'd already had it clearly established in his heart. The Lord's with me and his presence is what strengthens me. It's wonderful if I have a friend. It's okay if I don't have a friend. If I'm alone, I know that I'm never alone. Are you with me? He may allow you to go through lonely times in order for you and him to develop that one-on-one relationship. Yet he knows how he created you. He knows that you need a human touch. He knows you need human fellowship, but not at the expense of your relationship with him first. Song of Solomon, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. God is talking there out of the Song of Solomon about the kind of relationship he wants with you and me. That he's your first love. He's the first go-to. He's your first helpmate. I don't recommend the old movie that came out a few years ago with Russell Crowe called Noah because it wasn't factual. It wasn't biblical. A lot of mythological stuff, a lot of Hollywood stuff in it. But there was one particular scene in it that I absolutely relish and I love. And I never saw the whole movie, don't care to. But I watched this one scene over and over, the movie Noah. Here's Noah standing before the ark. And there's some warlords that come up to his property, and he's starting to build the ark there, you know, Noah is. And these warlords come up and say, this is my property. I've come to take over. This is our ground. Long before you came here, it's our ground. And we have come to take it by force. You can either surrender it or we'll take it by force. And all of a sudden, Noah whispers something to God. We can't even hear what it is, but he whispers something. Now, I know this was long before Psalm 46 was written, but I can imagine him saying, God is present with me. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is with me. God is my refuge. God is my... I can hear he just whispering something. God, you're with me. God, you're my protector. And the warlord watches him bow his head and whisper. And he... What did you say? He didn't say anything. What did you say? We are going to take this ground. And he says, no, you're not. Who are you? Look how many there are of us and one of you, and you're going to defy us all alone? And then he says these profound words, I'm not alone. And the confidence with which he says that. The warlords back down. The warlords are like Satan and his demons coming at you at night. Hurricane, financial disaster, threat of sickness and disease, whatever it is, we are coming to take over. We're going to get this ground. And there's so many of them. It's very intimidating. But if you would just have your gun loaded, if you'd have this gun loaded, you see, and you just kind of, okay, load the gun. God is my refuge. God is my strength. Very present help in trouble. If you just kind of load your gun, and when the enemy shows up and he says, you're all alone. With confidence, when that spirit of fear tries to torment you, intimidate you, you must learn to load your weapon, church. Most of you are walking around without any bullets. And the enemy knows it. You must load your weapon. And I'm talking about getting the words of God, like Psalm 46, 11 verses. You fill up your heart with the word, with so much scripture that means something to you, that you automatically load your mouth with ammo at any moment. See, you load your weapon here, but you keep one in the chamber. You keep it in the chamber. And it can go off at any moment without you thinking about it. You've got muscle memory. You've been target practicing. You've been training. You've been ready. So you expect the enemy to show up. You know he's going to snoop around. You know what he's up to. So as soon as he shows up, he says, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your house down. This is going to be Category 1 million hurricane. Ain't nobody going to survive this. You heard that on the news and you believe that on the news and you know that we can do it and we're going to tear your neighborhood up. Florida's going to be underwater and all that. And all of you say, you just go, bam! God is my refuge and strength. Very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. You get out of here. And if that doesn't work, use another one. And another one. And another one. You should have so much ammo stored up inside you that, man alive, he ain't about to think, well, he's about to run out of ammo. No, he ain't. The pastor is trying to tell you something today. You need to get out of here and go get loaded. The right way. Anytime I see you at Walmart or whatever, I need to ask you, how you doing? You need to say, I'm loaded. Buddy, I'm loaded. I'm ready to go off any sign of the devil. I'm looking for him. Yeah. All you have to do is really whisper the word. Just whisper it. You can get dramatic. I like getting dramatic sometimes. But you can just whisper it. Sometimes I like to get dramatic. Now I pull my Clint Eastwood out. Are you guys that like to do your little Clint Eastwood thing, you know, call the devil a punk and all that, you know? That's just a little drama. It's just fun. You got to squint your eyes a little bit. Squint. Come on, guys. Do it with me. Come on. Practice. Squint. God is my refuge and my strength. Very present help in trouble, punk. You got to pause. Punk. Try it with me, guys. Come on. One time. It's fun. Have fun. Squint your eyes. God is my refuge and my strength. Very present help in trouble. Pause. Punk. Hey, where else are you going to learn this? I don't know. You say it with a quiet confidence. I'm serious. A quiet confidence. The word always works. Always. So you just say the word. When you speak the word of God, the Bible calls it a living word. When you speak it, God's invisible, but he's here. So when you speak his word, you know, God is invisible to demons to some degree, or else they wouldn't bother with you. So when you speak the word, he becomes manifest in the spirit world. You've declared he's here. You've declared, and God is always pleased by faith, and he operates by faith. And so you have manifested the presence of God by speaking his word in the midst of an attack of the enemy. You've manifested, and then the demons scatter like roaches just because you've fired your gun. Church, load your weapon. Load your weapon. I'm done when I say this. Musicians, you can come up and however you want to do that. But someone's probably at a crossroads here today. You either believe God or you're believing your feelings. And feelings lie to you. And I close by reminding you of the prophetic word that was for somebody at the beginning. I'll read it again just to see if you're listening and you can hear God talking to you through that. Can you bring that one back up for me, please? If you can bring that back up, Jenny, that'd be great. If not, I'll have to dig it up. No, the prophecy, the prophetic word I gave at the beginning. God is with you. You don't have to be afraid, but you've got to believe that. You've got to believe that he's with you. There it is, last one. You're not alone. Don't trust your feelings. Trust me. Stop giving in to doubts and believe my word. Talk to me. I hear you. I'm as close as your breath. I am your very present help in trouble. Come to me first. Seek me first, and I'll direct your path. Now, if somebody was praying for a direct word from God today, and if that fits what your heart was looking for, take that, that God would speak through a flawed human and give you something you directly needed. Would you stand together? He's a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help in trouble. A very present help. A very present help. A very present help in trouble. He's a very present help. Very present help. A very present help in trouble. Yeah, he is. He is. See, that's what you take. You take that word, that one verse, you meditate on it. Walk around in your backyard or something. Say it out loud to yourself. Talk to God about it. Meditate on it. And if you hear a melody or if you want to use a melody from another song you know, just take it and just sing it into the atmosphere. Just be free in your relationship with God. Because He loves you. He loves the way He made you. He even likes the way you look. You know, you've been complaining about you don't like yourself, you don't like the way you look, you wish you had a different nose, different eyes, different body, whatever. Well, you didn't hear that from God. God says, I love you. I love you. And if there are things you want to change about yourself that you can do reasonably and ask the Lord, if He wants you to do that, He'll help you, because He's a very present help. Very present help in trouble. Whatever troubles you, He knows. He wants to help you. He wants you to come to Him first. Before you go to a doctor, before you go to a counselor, before you go to a pastor, before you go to your friend, come to Him. It'd be rude for Jesus to be here and then you walk past Him and come up here and want to talk to me. I send you to Him. It'd be rude for you to go to somebody else without first going to Him. Why? Because He's a very present help. A very present help. A very present help in trouble. And He wants you to experience that. A very present help. Very present help, very present help in trouble. Are you in trouble today? You have trouble? You should have.